I want to invite you to join me in thinking about this story, about Mary Magdalene and about how she talked to Jesus and about how she was the apostle to the apostles, the one who spoke with the risen Christ and shared the good news with the apostles and helped starting to share the good news to all of us even to this day. Can we see the next slide, please? Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer as we get ready to begin? Loving God, please guide our thoughts and words this day. You are the potter, we are your clay. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. Whom are you looking for, or who are you looking for, depending on your translation? That's what Jesus said to Mary. Who are you looking for? And I think Jesus still asks that question to all of us today. Mary went to the tomb that morning expecting to find certain things. She might not have wanted to find what she was looking for, but she knew what she expected to find. And she knew why she'd set out that morning. Jesus had died on Friday. He had died late in the day. By the time he'd been placed in the tomb, it was nearly the Sabbath, and she did not have enough time to anoint his body with the oils and the spices for embalming that were customary in that time and in that place. And so as early as she possibly could, once the Sabbath was over, she hurried to the tomb so that she would be able to do this final act of mercy for Jesus. I expect she also planned to go to the tomb that day to grieve, just as many of us probably have gone to the grave of a loved one who we miss dearly. I remember going with Mom and Dad when I was a little kid to go visit Grandma Alice's grave each spring. And maybe Mary also thought to herself that she needed to grieve where she was at in her life. She had found a new purpose. She'd found new hope in life following Jesus, but now Jesus was gone. And any time one stage in our life ends abruptly and we're not sure what the next stage in life is going to bring, there's a time of grieving and there's a time of loss. But Mary did not find what she was expecting to find. She didn't find what she was looking for that morning. She expected to find the tomb closed. It was open. She expected to find Jesus lying within the tomb. His body was gone. She expected to find the burial cloths wrapped around his body and the burial shroud over his face. And instead, she found them lying in different places in the tomb. Understandably, she was concerned. She believed that someone had stolen Jesus' body. She was worried this was maybe one final act of cruelty towards the person that she had followed, and she ran to find the disciples. She ran to get help. She found Jesus, and she found the disciple whom, or she found Peter, and she found the disciple whom Jesus loved, that sort of uncertain expression that's used throughout the Gospel of John, and we're not sure exactly which disciple it refers to. But those two disciples heard what she said, and they ran to the tomb. They ran to the tomb, and they looked in, and what did they find? Jesus was gone. The tomb was open. The burial cloths lay in one place. The cloth that had been over his face was folded up and laid someplace else. We are told that the disciple whom Jesus loved believed, but it's sort of ambiguous what it was that he believed. Was it that he believed that Jesus had risen from the dead, as Mary had said? It says in the next verse that they did not yet understand that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So it's hard to know what he believed. But whatever that disciple and Peter believed, they left the tomb. They went back to their homes, and if we read the entirety of John chapter 20, we find that they went to their homes and closed the doors and locked the doors out of fear. But Mary remained. Mary stayed around the tomb. She hadn't found who she was looking for. She continued to grieve. At some point, I guess sometime later, she looked into the tomb, and now there were two angels sitting where Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels spoke to her, but it doesn't appear to me that their words gave her much comfort. She still hadn't found who she was looking for. And then she turned, and she still didn't see who she was looking for. And I wonder if it's because she was looking for Jesus of Nazareth, but who she saw was Jesus, the risen Christ. Who are you looking for? Asked the risen Savior. And it's not just a question for Mary, it's a question for all of us. People were looking for someone, and many people thought they'd found that person in Jesus. Now, some of Jesus' followers, some of his disciples, it seems that what they were looking for was a revolutionary and a war leader, someone who was going to throw out the hated Roman oppressors, who was going to reestablish the kingdom of Israel and rule as a godly king. Now, I'm not sure that's what Mary Magdalene was looking for. I wonder if more she was looking for a healer. We are told that she had many demons driven out of her life. Jesus had healed her. Jesus had given her a wholeness that she had never known. I think she was looking for a healer and a teacher, and she had gladly followed Jesus because she had found something that seemed like what she was looking for. But what those disciples who were looking for a revolutionary were looking for, that wasn't Jesus. And yes, what Mary was looking for, that healer and that teacher, that was only part of who Jesus was. So I ask all of us today, who are we looking for? Are we looking for someone to comfort us amid the difficulties of life? Are we looking for assurance that we have worth in the eyes of God? Are we looking for forgiveness for that sin or that mistake we made that we still regret deeply and which still pains us to even think about? Are we looking for someone who will take us to heaven, who will promise us that this life is not all that there is, that there is life after death? Are we looking for someone who will be an ethical teacher, who will teach us how to live and how to be a blessing to those around us? Now, Jesus is all of those things, of course. Jesus is the comforter when we grieve, when we are sick, when we are in pain. Jesus is there with us, offering us comfort. Jesus promises us and teaches us that we are all beautiful and beloved children of God, that we have worth in God's eyes, even if other people don't tell us that we are worthy, even if we might sometimes tell ourselves that we're not very worthy. Jesus promises us forgiveness, promises us that there is no sin or mistake that can separate us from the love of God. Jesus promises eternal life, that it's not just this life and then we're done, but that we can live in the presence of God for all eternity. And of course, Jesus promises us teachings that will show us how to live in deeper relationship with each other. But Jesus is more than even all of these things put together. Jesus, who is fully God and fully human, Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, fully God and fully human, is a sign and a symbol that God is doing something more amazing than we can understand. God, Jesus Christ, is a sign that God is inviting all people everywhere and all time into relationship with God. Jesus Christ is a sign that God sees the brokenness of this world and says, I will not leave them to their own devices. I will help them. Jesus Christ is a sign that the brokenness of this age is not how things are going to be forever. That God intends to make things better for all people, for all creatures, for all creation. So who are we looking for? Jesus Christ, the risen Christ who greeted Mary long ago, was more than the disciples understood, was more than Mary understood, was more than our minds can fully comprehend. Yet Jesus guides us towards an eternal life with God, but not just eternal life after we die in this world, but instead a life worth living in this world and in the next. A life of purpose, a life of blessing, a life that can then be a blessing to all those around us. God offers us so much through Jesus Christ. God saw the brokenness of the personal sins we all commit, those things that we've done that have hurt others, that have hurt maybe those we love, that have hurt ourselves. And God says, I will offer them healing. But God also sees the brokenness of social sins, those broken systems in the world that can lead to seemingly endless war, that can lead to slavery, that can lead to cruelty and injustice. God looks to those, to any idea system that says that one human being is not as of much worth as another and says, that must be swept away, for all are my beloved children. God looks to this world, and as the Apostle Paul put it, all creation is groaning in pain because of the brokenness of this world. And yet God says, I will not leave it broken forever. I am in I'm in the midst of the task of remaking it, of changing it. God says, I will offer every human being a new life, and I will offer them the opportunity to help all of existence be made new. So who are you looking for today? Who are all of us looking for today? I invite you to look to and for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God's Word become flesh. Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. Jesus Christ who still bears the scars caused by human sin. And because He bears those scars, we know that He truly understands us and that He offers each and every one of us hope. Jesus Christ who taught us that we can rise above the divisions between human beings. Jesus Christ who gives life to the lifeless, hope to the hopeless, and sight to the blind. Jesus Christ who tells us that it is in fact possible and even a blessing to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. Jesus Christ who says that we can learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus Christ who breaks down all the barriers that human beings put between themselves. The barriers of language and nationality, of religions, of theologies, of class, of education, of anything else. Jesus Christ who says everyone can be in relationship with God and in relationship with each other. Jesus Christ who says that we will have the power to do even greater things than Christ did because that is how powerful God's love is. Jesus Christ who can take us all and help us be the best possible version of ourselves. Christ who can change our hearts, and then as our hearts are changed, we can be part of changing existence in Jesus' name. We can truly make it as the prayer we say each week in worship says, "Thy will, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So who are we looking for? Are we looking for a Christ that we can't possibly control, we'll never be able to fully understand, but who can make everything new and better? Are we looking for a Christ who has changed everything, who is the sign that all creation is moving towards something better than it currently is? Christ is there if we are looking for Him. Christ reaches out to us. Christ is risen, and because He's risen, we have life. We can find peace. We can have hope for a better future, and we can know that love is more powerful than sin and death, and that we can have a new existence better than anything we could imagine. Thank you, God, for the risen Christ, for the hope and the love He brings. Hallelujah and amen.